The Lord God Made Them All by James Herriot. Read by Nicholas Ralph. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Cecil Francis Alexander, 1818 to 1895. Chapter 1. When the gate fell on top of me, I knew I was really back home. My mind drifted effortlessly over my spell in the RAF to the last time I had visited the Ripleys. It was to nip some calves, as Mr. Ripley said over the phone, or more correctly, to emasculate them by means of the Berdizo bloodless castrator. And when the message came in, I realized that a large part of my morning had gone. It was always something of a safari to visit Aston Hall, because the old house lay at the end of a rigid and rutted track which twisted across the fields through no fewer than 7 gates. Gates are one of the curses of a country vet's life, and in the Yorkshire Dales, before the coming of cattle grids, we suffered more than most. We were resigned to opening 2 or 3 on many of the farms, but 7 was a bit much. And at the Ripleys, it wasn't just the number, but the character. The first one, which led off the narrow road, was reasonably normal, an ancient thing of rusty iron, and as I unlatched it, it did at least swing round, groaning on its hinges. It was the only one which swung. The others were of wood, and of the type known in the Dales as shoulder gates. I could see how they got their name as I hoisted each one up, balanced the top spar on my shoulder, and dragged it round. These had no hinges, but were tied at one end with binder twine, top and bottom. Even with an ordinary gate, there is a fair amount of work involved. You have to stop the car, get out, open the gate, drive through, stop the car again, dismount and close the thing behind you. But the road to Anson Hall was hard labour. The gates deteriorated progressively as I approached the farm, and I was puffing with my efforts as I bumped and rattled my way up to number 7. This was the last and the most formidable, a malignant entity with a personality of its own. Over decades, it had been patched and repaired with so many old timbers that probably none of the original structure remained. But it was dangerous. I got out of the car and advanced a few steps. We were old foes, this gate and I, and we faced each other for some moments in silence. We had fought several brisk rounds in the past, and there was no doubt the gate was ahead on points. The difficulty was that, apart from its wobbly, loosely nailed eccentricity, it had only one string hinge halfway down. This enabled it to pivot on its frail axis with deadly effect. With the utmost care, I approached the right-hand side and began to unfasten the binder twine. The string, I noticed bitterly, was, like all the others, neatly tied in a bow, and as it fell clear, I grabbed hastily at the top spar. But I was too late. Like a live thing, the bottom rail swung in and rapped me cruelly on the shins, and as I tried to correct the balance, the top bashed my chest. It was the same as all the other times. As I hauled it round an inch at a time, the gate buffeted me high and low. I was no match for it. Another thing which didn't help was that I could see Mr. Ripley watching me benevolently from the farmhouse doorway. While I wrestled the gate open, contented puffs rose from the farmer's pipe, and he did not stir from his position until I had hobbled over the last stretch of grass and stood before him.
"Now then, Mr. Herriot, you've come to nip me a few calves."
A smile of unaffected friendship creased the stubbled cheeks. Mr. Ripley shaved once a week, on market day, considering, with some logic, that since only his wife and his cattle saw him on the other 6 days, there was no point in scraping away at his face every morning with a razor. I bent and massaged my bruised ankles. "Mr. Ripley, that gate, it's a menace. Do you remember that last time I was here you promised me faithfully you'd have it mended? In fact, you said you'd get a new one. It's about time, isn't it?"
"Ah, you're right, young man," Mr. Ripley said, nodding his head in profound agreement. "I did say that, but tha knows, it's one of them little jobs which never seem to get done."
He chuckled ruefully, but his expression altered to concern when I wound up my trouser leg and revealed a long abrasion on my shoulder.